Love Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, people. Okay, this is January 17th, 2024. I am from Montana. This is the Joe from Montana Show with my co-host, Lauren Ann from the Lucid Libertine Show on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where she does a political show. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to discuss pretty interesting topic to me. It's going to be about these females who are male advocates. I mean, diehard male advocates. They have no problems condemning women who act irresponsibly, who don't know how to find good guys, who complain about the fact that they are not finding good guys. But one of them, now I'm going to talk about two tonight, but one of them is named Pearl. She's a sweetheart. The other one's a sweetheart, too. And this woman, Pearl, she has a few million subscribers to her channel. She, and you would like her, Laurianne, because she's 5'11", played semi-pro ball, basketball and volleyball, and you're five. You two might have been buddies if you met each other. So,
yeah, the tall girls club, yeah.
Yeah, you know. And like I said, she's a sweetheart, but she hasn't done what the other one has done. The other one is called Jedediah. I like her as well. She's very dynamic. Is married. She will bash women too for being assholes, bitches. But she has used code words like protect and provide. Pearl hasn't. Pearl will go so far as to say, and I just found this out the other day, that she thinks that women shouldn't even be allowed to vote. That's how little they can do to the United States. Okay? Not allowed to vote. Now, I think women should be allowed to vote. And Pearl has gone into the history why women decided back, even pre-suffragette days, as to why women wanted to vote. I haven't taken a good look at that yet. It's on one of her videos. I haven't looked at it, as I've said, but I will. Here's the question for tonight. These, and she's not, also in your slideshow, which you had picked out, Laurianne, one of the slides is about a woman named Courtney. She's a male advocate as well. Now, my question is, what is the end game for these chicks? They do a very good job in condemning the irresponsible women who complain about can't find good guys. These male advocates will say they're right in front of you. They're nice guys. They're responsible. They want to take care of you. Your expectations are too high. You're acting like bitches. You bring nothing to the table. Now, they're very clear about this. But the thing is,
yes, it's like the women that complain the most make the dating experience even more miserable for men, so that men don't even want to get into the game. Like, why should they? You know, it's like an uphill battle. So I totally get that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point because that's the same thing that these women have been saying. It's an uphill battle. They don't want to get into the game. That's why there's a MGTOW movement, because they've checked out of the dating game because the women do not show appreciation for who the men are, and their expectations, as you and I have talked about, are too high, way too high, especially for what they bring or actually don't bring to the table. But getting back to the protect and provide phrase that one girl, the Jedediah chick, says in particular, it makes me wonder, is your major motivation the happiness of both men and women, Or is your major motivation the happiness of women primarily? Because if a woman is making her man happy, and man is supposed to protect and provide, then what happened? She's being made happy by a guy who has assumed the role of the protector and provider, which most guys are very happy to do. There isn't anything wrong with being a protector and provider for your wife, okay? Now, the rub I have with the protect and provide phrase is, can she do the same thing for him? If a situation arises, will she put herself on the line like he would for her? Okay? And if you do find a man who is willing to be that, and if you're willing as a woman to stop being a bitch, how beneficial is that for him as opposed to how beneficial is that for you? If he's the protector and provider, and you're smart enough not to complain all the time, not to be, make demands all the time, and to be smart enough to realize that if he's treating you well, just show him some appreciation, some gratitude, sincerely, of course, and you've got a man who will run through fire for you. What a man would like, most men would be satisfied with that type of woman because most men want the soft, virtuous type of woman. Can't blame them. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want somebody you can cuddle up with and, you know, and express yourself to? Now, here's the rub. If that type of situation, which these particular male advocates come to fruition, can the man express vulnerabilities to this particular type of woman? She has been making him happy by not complaining, by showing and by showing appreciation and gratitude. But what if the man does slip away from the protect-provider role, okay, which is a traditional role, and start expressing how his anxieties are getting the best of him with certain work situations? He's got people in his family that are undergoing trauma because they're sick and in the hospital. He may even cry in front of his woman. Can this woman, who has kind of reformed herself, if you will, from being the bitch and from being the complainer and from being the one with the high expectations and finding a good man, quote-unquote good man, can she still accept the man when he expresses weakness? Because the man is veering away from the role of the protector-provider, quote-unquote, strong man, leader type, okay? So I wonder about that. I wonder, Hitchiki, sure, you've now made the men stronger, if you will, because they're now finding more women who are more to their liking, who are more primed now to show appreciation and gratitude, because other women are, are complaining that the men are leaving them, so the women are wising up. There are YouTube videos of women who said, I divorced my husband and I regret it. I divorced my husband. Now he's happier than I am. What the hell is going on here? I divorced my husband and I realized I hit the wall. Okay? Now that's not the way to be reformed, chickies. Okay? Don't reform yourselves because the consequences aren't to your liking. Reform yourselves because you have the moral turpitude to realize that, you know, I should treat the man I love, with respect, with appreciation, with gratitude, as he shows me. And so that this isn't a woman bashing show. If man has a good woman and is not showing her appreciation and gratitude and does stick up for her in the right way at the right time, then the woman should find out why. And if she finds out that the guy is emotionally unavailable, is a narcissist, dump his ass. both men, both women should treat each other well, with respect, courtesy, with appreciation, gratitude, and love, okay, and loyalty, sensitivity, because you two are the best friends for one another. But do it for the right reasons. Do it because both men and women are morally and ethically together. They have sensitivity as a part of their normal character towards human beings, plants, animals, dogs, and humans, okay? Not because they want to play a role so that they can grab the woman or have the woman grab the man. So, okay, that's my, I guess, that's part of my speech. What do you think so far, Lorianne? If you find anything wrong with what I've said, please let me know.
I think that you're spot on. I think, you know, part of the thing, too, is, you know, if a woman is going to have the expectations of a man, you know, the traditional roles like you were talking about, then she in turn needs to tap into her own nature, which is to be the nurturer. You know, instead of being so critical and judgmental, that's not nurturing. You know, when a man is struggling emotionally or with stress, then it is the woman, what she brings to the table is her nurturing nature, her sympathy, her empathy, her ability to be by his side and help him to figure out, you know, what he needs to do to get over whatever the crisis is that he's in. And, you know, the last thing that they need, a man needs is like an unsympathetic, like domineering, judgmental, you know, woman that just makes a bad situation even worse. And then, you know, what's his motivation going to be to stay with her when she is not providing him with what he needs and he's busting his ass to, you know, provide what she needs, you know, or provide what the household needs or what the kids need, you know, that kind of thing. You know, the relationship is a two-way street. You know, you both got to bring some things to the table, as you were saying. And I like what you were saying, too, like, you know, is the woman willing to put herself at risk in order to defend her man when he needs it? You know, yes, the man is the, you know, traditionally the protector, which is all great, but once in a while he needs protecting. And is she going to step up to the plate? Is she going to back him up? You know, and, you know, somebody's attacking him. Is she willing to, you know, pick up a baseball bat or pick up a bottle and smash the attacker over the head, you know, before he, you know, kills her husband, you know, or kills her man? You know, that sort of thing. And I would hope so. Because if a woman isn't willing to do that for her husband or for her man, then what does that say about her as a mother? You know, if she's not willing to put herself at risk for her man, then what are the chances that she's willing to put herself at risk for her children when her children's safety is in trouble, when somebody tries to attack their kids? So, you know, I think that's a question that men have to consider as well. Because not only are they choosing a partner in life and a wife, but they're also choosing a potential mother for their children. And that's one thing that a mother should be bringing to the table as well is, you know, when her man is away, you know, then she is the protector of the children. She has to assume that role as protector in his absence. And if she's going to fail to do that, then what, you know, what is she really bringing to the table then? Why would a man want to actually have children with her?
You bring
that kind
up
of thing. You know, does that make sense?
Does it make sense? You bring up such a good point, which is something I was going to get into. I wanted to expound on that a little. I personally want a ride or die bitch, with the bitch term not being derogatory, okay? It means in this particular context that she's willing to ride through the gates of hell with her man. And the way that you described it was the way, similar to the way that I was going to present it, because I was, because I have a questionnaire. You know, you've heard me say you have to, you know, take out a piece of paper and write on it what you like about each other, what you don't like about each other, and then the typical scenarios which might come up in a relationship that you should discuss now before you the situations actually come up. And one of the scenarios was, okay, you and your boyfriend, not necessarily you and your boyfriend, have driven the car into the parking lot. You come out of the car. Now there's a car behind you, and a guy steps out, and he says that both of them, right, have interrupted, have cut him off at the intersection, and starts a fight with your boyfriend. What are you going to do? See, that's a discussion I want to have with a chick. What are you going to do? Now, you, to me, said the right thing. The girl should look, take the handbag, look around, take off her heels, take off her shoes, look for something heavy, get in that fight. Help him. Now, if I'm talking to a girl and she says, well, I would call 911. I would run into the next, into the nearest store, you know? That's not helping, because a guy can get killed at time. And then I would say, well, why would you do that? Why would you pick up the phone? And, well, because he's the man. He's in a fight with a man. I'm about 5'6". I only weigh about 135 pounds. And I think that the best thing for me to do is to try to get help. So then I would ask, really? So what would you do if the same guy, and you weren't with your boyfriend or your husband, but you had a six-year-old boy or girl, the guy comes along and tries to kidnap your boy or girl, what would you do then? Well, I know the answer. Well, I fight. I wouldn't let him take my child. That's my child. I would go into the car and see if there's anything there I can use. I would use my handbag. I would try to hit him. I would scream and scream and scream. And I would say, yeah. In other words, you would fight for your boy or your girl. Yes, of course. I'm a mother. But you wouldn't fight for your boyfriend. Why? Your boyfriend die. Your boy or your girl could get kidnapped. They're both at risk. You're there. You got a handbag. You got shoes. You got nails. In one instance, you would fight to protect your son and your daughter, but your boyfriend, you would run away and try to find somebody to help. You would try to back off, maybe have the wherewithal to dial 911. So, Lorianne, I'm glad you brought up those points. I was going to bring them up anyway, but I'm glad you brought them up, because you as a woman, you did it first. You brought it up first. I want women to think of that, okay? And as you were saying, if a man wants a woman, he wants a woman to be a potential mother for his children. If he's away, who else is going to protect them? All right? And I would go even further, because I would say, if a girl is going to give me an argument, even after this, I would say, hey, you know what? You ever go to the gym? Maybe no. Maybe the particular girl I'll be talking. Let's say they say yes. All right. Ever do yoga? Yeah. Okay. Ever lift weights? Nah, I never really lifted weights. I like being feminine. You ever see female gymnasts? Yeah. Have you ever seen them do the trampoline? Have you ever seen them do the backward somersaults? Have you ever seen them on the, what is it, the wooden, not the horse, the, not the parallel bar.
Balance beam? The
what?
Are you talking balance beam?
Yeah, that's it, the balance beam. Have you ever seen how they've done somersault on a balance beam, which is only about 4 inches wide, how they've somersaulted onto the balance beam from the gym floor? Have you seen how they've done that? They're not, they're ripped, but they're not bodybuilders. They have the same physique you do. The only difference is they're willing to risk practically mortal, fatal, and injury for glory, to be in front of a crowd, to do somersaults in the air that are about 17 feet up in the air and come down and do somersault upon somersault upon somersault again for the glory. If they can, and it takes training, absolutely, it takes months. But if they're willing to do it for glory, why can't you do that for your man? Now, see, this is why the code words of protect and provide irk me. Because most of the time, what women mean is when they say, take the lead, they mean, well, yeah, you take the lead, take the risks. Okay? Take the lead, take the risks. Take the burden off my shoulders. Take the lead means push you in front of us. When the fire is in front of us, when the bullets are in front of us, when the arrows are in front of us and in the back, and you take the lead.
I don't know if it's just me, but you're kind of breaking up here and there.
Am I?
With your audio?
Am I? Kind of a little bit, yeah.
It kind of comes in and out, and then you're fine for a little bit, and then it gets choppy again, yeah.
All right, what I'll do is I'm going to fix that in about 10 seconds. So, sorry about that, but my phone's been hanging up on me, too.
No problem. Blame global warming, and I think you just cut out. So I think Joe is going to have to hang up and call back in. Yeah, you just dropped. So keep an eye out for him to show back up again. But this is an interesting discussion. I think, you know, I can expand on what he was talking about, too, because You know, let's take a survival situation as well. You know, as a woman, you are your partner's, you know, your partner's. That is your husband, that is your partner in life. And when faced in a situation of danger, he's going to need his backup. You need to, as a woman, you need to be his backup. You got to be willing to be like, hey, we have an attacker. You know, you have to be willing to put yourself at risk as well to defend each other, defend your home, defend whatever. And if you're not willing to do that, if you're willing to do that, you say you're willing to do that for your children, but you're not willing to do that for your man, how hypocritical is that? Why would you not want to protect your man as fiercely as you would your own children? And, you know, women don't seem to want to put themselves like that. And then, oh, well, I want to be feminine, like what you're talking about, like with the gymnasts, you know. These gymnasts look feminine. Are they toned? And, you know, are they toned? Very well toned? Absolutely. They're in, you know, they're in peak physical shape, you know, for what they're doing. But they still look feminine. They're still obviously women, you know. And yet they're strong and they, you know, and physically fit. That doesn't mean they're not feminine. Yeah, so this is kind of an interesting conversation. And, Joe, I think you're back now.
Yep, I'm back.
Your audio is better. All right,
can
perfect.
You hear me?
All right, continue on. I was just kind of filling in the gap.
No, I'm glad. On this particular topic, whenever you want to join on in, do so. Because I want a woman's confirmation. I want the women and men to hear this from another woman, okay? A woman who has chosen to be single, like I have chosen to be single. A woman who seems to understand the, the deeper recesses of the mind of a man, and being a woman would understand the deeper recesses of the mind of a woman. So anytime you want to jump on in, since, you know, the show's only for an hour, not including the hour overtime, jump on in, because I want women to understand this. This is especially important. If you want to be happy, it's not just happy wife, happy life. I agree with that term if the woman is a worthwhile woman. You don't seem to, well, women do seem to understand that men will go out of their way for strange women to help them out, just to get a phone number, but just to help them out. So you're not just defenders, but to be their temporary friends to help them out for a situation. That's the way men are, conditioned to be that way, and we want to be that way for the right women. But when women start thinking about me, myself, and I, and not you and me and we, then thankfully, men are finally waking up. Finally. There's a Megtown movement in which men have completely given up dating, and they're not misogynists. They just don't want to be bothered with you broads. Okay? You're selfish. You get asked the question on YouTube, what do you bring to the table? Everything. What's everything? Me. What's me? My presence. My personality. My being together with him. And you have to struggle for words to convey what you're trying to say while at the same time you're realizing that you could be caught in a trap with that question. And you know? But I have yet on Blog Talk Radio or on YouTube have a woman say, other than respect, a lot of women will say, well, a man wants to be respected or a woman wants to be loved. Well, they both want to be loved and they both want to be respected. But outside of respect, I have yet to hear a woman say, I bring appreciation, gratitude, sensitivity, attentiveness, the willingness to allow my man to be vulnerable. That's what men want. Now, some men, if you ask them what they want, they might say, well, you know what? If she did cook or clean, that would be interesting and nice and good because a lot of women don't want to cook and clean anymore. And, you know, if a woman were good in bed, that would be good too because, you know, a lot of women, they just don't like moving. Oh, Jesus, beach, whales. Christ. So, you know, if she does cook, if she does clean, if she is good in bed, you know, that would be an ideal girl. And then I come in with, is that right? So if you had this woman who did move her ass in bed, was good in bed, you had this woman who was willing to cook and clean, but she was a bitch, how would you like it? Then they start to think. So both men and women really do not think deeply about this situation enough. And that situation is relationships, which is absolutely necessary for fulfillment. Not for contentment, but for fulfillment. There is no greater joy on this planet, not winning the Super Bowl, not winning championships like I've won on the second tier level of athletics. I'm not talking about first tier, second tier. Than being in a relationship in which you love her, she loves you, you both trust each other, you're loyal to one another, you get over conflicts easily, you're grateful to be with one another. The love that you two have for one another is, you outshine the sun. But women are too damn selfish and men are too damn stupid to realize that there are still millions of women who are too damn selfish. Once the women start waking up, and that's what some of these male advocates who are female are doing, they're saying, yes, women, you got to wake up. You got to treat the men right, okay? Stop being such a selfish bitch. I know. If he wants you to do some things for him, do it. Why? Is it because the men and the women can enjoy true equality? To me, equality is a ride or die bitch. If she is going to protect the children, hopefully, fiercely, but she's not willing to protect me, then she has this, even if she doesn't realize it, this princess attitude. She may be treating me right, but that's because I'm a catch. Okay? I'm not saying that she's doing it to be manipulative, okay, or that she's narcissistic. This is the way that she's trained. But she doesn't realize that she is a walking recipe for disaster herself. So what do you think so far now that I returned from this phone? Why does this phone do this? I move the phone. I don't touch anything. And the phone has done this to me the last 3 days or so. Move the phone around. Goddamn thing hangs up on me. So, all right. In any case.
I don't know. Maybe it's the weather or something, you know, power outages and things. I don't know. So, it's, you know, might be interfering with. Who knows? Because before the last few days when I heard you with your regular phone or your newer phone, you've been fine. But, yeah, it gets a little choppy now. Like I said, maybe it's, you know, there are a lot of power outages out there with the bad weather going on. And with power outages means, you know, voice and video and internet data, you know, gets rerouted to other, you know, server farms and things have to take different routes and maybe that might explain it. But, you know, getting back to the topic at hand though, I just think, you know, one of the things that, a woman can do for her man is, you know, if you want your man to treat you like a queen, you have to treat him like a king. You have to make your man, you know, feel like he's your hero, you know, even if it's little things that, I think a lot of women fail to recognize the little things that men do to try to make us happy, you know, and, you know, they try to show their love in subtle ways sometimes, and I think women fail to pick up on that. Men often do a lot of little things to make us happy, put a smile on our face. That's, you know, when they love a woman, you know, men absolutely love it and feel validated when something little they do puts a smile on her face, cheers her up on a bad day, that kind of thing. But a woman needs to do the same thing for her man. Her man needs to be her hero. She needs to do those little things herself to make him happy, you know, and put a smile on his face and cheer him up when he's had a bad day. And yes, once in a while when stress and life and circumstances become overwhelming, allow him to cry on her shoulder like he does for her, you know, when she's overwhelmed, you know, and she needs that shoulder to cry on. It does work both ways. And a man needs to feel like it's okay to break down and need that nurturing that the woman provides, you know, for him, you know, that his partner provides for him. You know, it can be just little things, you know, little subtleties that, you know, that men do for women and women do for men that puts that smile on their face and showing appreciation, saying thank you, giving them a little bit of a, you know, confidence boost, you know, hey, you know, I noticed that, you know, you did this thing a little bit differently. I like that idea, you know. And when a man comes up with a good solution for a problem, yeah, I like that idea. That's good thinking. Yeah, I'm on board with you on that. It's things like that that I think we forget, those small things of appreciation that, you know, men, that is what will motivate a man to continue to want to do things for his woman. Not because it's expected, but because it's appreciated.
Yeah, I can give you some examples of what a woman do for me to show me that she's still interested in me, shows me appreciation. Well, you know, you can actually mail me a letter. Okay, but besides that, if I'm at the sink and I'm doing dishes, and she comes up to me, grabs my ass and says, "Nice ass, bitch. I appreciate I appreciate that. You know, you know, I like that. And if I'm at my PC, and she's at the couch, and she's laid out, sprawled out on the couch, and she's reading something, and she doesn't hear the keyboard clickety clackety. Yeah. If she doesn't hear it, then she knows I'm about to turn around and say something to her. So, in anticipation of that, she'll stick her head out from the book, and when I turn around, she'll give me the finger, you know. And I appreciate that, because being playful, you know, it's like, fuck you, I heard you, you know. It's being playful, because if you have that type of relationship where you're playing with one another, where it would be insulting to some other people, then you've got a, you know, if not a strong bond, the foundation for building a strong bond. You know what I'd like to do one day, because you and I have had several talks over the past couple of years about relationships, and you seem to be a person who is very well in tune to what men need, what we want. If ever I'm on the show that I bring up again, if you want to bring up the shit, the scumbags that you've met or that you've heard about or that your sisters or that your girlfriends have encountered to talk about how they ruin relationships, that would be good, because that would show balance to this relationship show. It's a relationship show. It's about what bitches women are and what bastards men are too. So anytime that you want to bring up a situation, either that you've heard about or you've experienced or you've read about her on YouTube, Laurianne, feel free to do so, because I want to present information to both sides so that both sides, when you meet each other, you can not only just get along, but you can help each other emotionally. Get to the summit. Get to find love. There is nothing better than true love. I'm not talking about the romantic version as pushed down notes by Disney, but true love. Now, getting back to whether a woman, you know, the ride or die bitch, if a man loves the soft, demure type of woman and knows that she, in a situation, a physical situation, would freeze up, not be helpful, and he accepts it, that's between him and her. If a situation comes up where he's getting his ass kicked by muggers or by drunks and she freezes, then he can't really condemn her, because he accepts her as she is. However, if that same woman, well, I don't know. I was about to say, if she can't defend her children, she may have something psychologically wrong with her where she might freeze up also if the children were to be kidnapped from a store, which is, that's been on YouTube too, where children have almost been kidnapped by very daring kidnappers. But, and he accepts it, then he accepts it. That's between him and her. I'm not going to condemn him for that. I'm not going to condemn her for not being the ride or die bitch. They've accepted each other. That is their interaction. But me, I want a ride or die bitch. I need somebody who's going to pick up the baseball bat, as you were mentioning. Find a bottle. Be creative. Break the windshield and use the glass from the windshield. Take off your shoes. Use the heels. Use your handbag. Do something. Of course, it's like, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, you know, then you can't really do much. You try, I guess, but then it might do better to run away and get on the cell phone. But if there's two, jump in there, baby. I would want to jump in there. If there's three, you know, kind of iffy. Two, yeah, because you can haul all, you can take one, I'll knock out one and get on you, and, you know, and get on the one that you're on, okay? But, again, anytime you want to bring up situations, because I know you've been single by choice. I've been single by choice. Neither one of us have kids. I don't regret. I I have regretted not having grandchildren, though, which is kind of unusual because you have to have kids to have grandchildren. But I've never regretted having kids.
Yeah, I know. That's the conundrum, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Is this something?
No. It'd be nice to have grandchildren and be a grandparent, but you got to go through the whole being a parent thing first, and that's the catch. But
yeah,
I totally get it. Like, you know, that's the thing is, you know, I've said before many times, one of the reasons why I'm single is because I have learned that I am spectacularly good at choosing the wrong men, you know, choosing assholes, you know. And so after the last asshole, which was over a decade ago, I just kind of put my hands up and said no more. You know, I can't trust my own decision when it comes to choosing a partner, you know, and choosing men. I'm spectacularly good at failing to choose a good guy, you know. A good guy can be right in front of my face, and I'll probably ignore him. And, you know, I just don't trust my own decision-making when it comes to picking a partner. You know, and it's like, but I know that there's good guys out there. You know, I'm much better friends with a guy, you know, than I am as a relationship partner or a love partner with them. And for whatever reason, it just seems like everything goes to shit the second something goes from friendship to romantic. And but I know there's great guys out there. You know, I know they exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just really bad at picking them.
Okay, it's very interesting that you said that because that's an admission as opposed to blaming guys again. I can't see how a woman, now I've seen her avatar, folks. It's an avatar, it's not a direct photo, but it is a representation of what she either looks like or what she did look like, and she has bragged that she was at one time the hot IT chick in her office, okay? The ones that guys probably hit on during back in the day before, before.
Yeah, complimenting back before,
a woman,
you know,
street.
My story and weight gain and all that other stuff, you know, when I was in my prime. I was known as the hot IT chick, you know, I was good looking. And, you know, maybe I could be again, but. Older, you know, so anyways, that's my story. But you know, it is one of those things where I don't know, I'm single by choice because of my own failure and my own decisions. I got to the point of maturity where it's like I couldn't keep pointing the finger at men and blaming men, you know, and assuming and having a prejudice against men because of my bad experiences and taking ownership for my choices. And, you know, and, yeah, were these men great men? No, they were not, you know.
That's what I was about to
was
say.
Was I,
yeah.
You know, I brought my own faults into the relationship as well, and I take ownership for that. And yet, at the same time, you know, I'm just, like I said, spectacularly good at choosing the shitty men, the abusive men, the manipulators. The ones that, you know, I ended up being the provider instead of them, you know, I was, you know, they were the ones bringing little to the table. And I was the one that was, keep making sure that the bills got paid and stuff like that, you know, I was the one that was keeping up with the house and they did very little, you know, so there was, you know, there was no balance in those relationships. It was like everything's on me, and I wasn't being appreciated for who I was. You know, I wasn't being appreciated for my loyalty and my faithfulness. And, you know,
see,
that seems
wrong.
To be something that is becomes rarer and rarer nowadays is loyalty and faithfulness. Everybody seems to be cheating on everybody nowadays. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, one thing that I bring to the table in a relationship is my man never has to worry about me going out and cheating on him. That's one thing he doesn't have to have occupying his mind. you know, that when I'm going out and I'm going to, you know, get picked up by some guy and have sex with him and stuff, you know. I'm not lying to him when I say I'm going out with my girlfriend. You know, he doesn't have to wonder if I'm actually going where I say I'm going. I don't lie to him. You know, I'm honest. Mm-hmm. That kind of a thing. And it's like, how valuable is that, especially in this day and age where, like I said, it just seems like everybody's cheating on everybody. It's normalized. Cheating is normalized now. It's like people come to expect that when they're dating or in a relationship. And I'm like, that's just absolutely wrong to expect it and have to accept it. And it just seems like that's the thing nowadays, is you have to accept moments of being unfaithful and work past it, you know, and stuff like that. Like, that's the focus on, you know, how do you save your relationship or your marriage after somebody cheats on you? You know, how many YouTube videos are there on that? And it's like, well, why is this being normalized? That's wrong. You know, that's absolutely wrong.
It is wrong. It is so wrong, because loyalty has to be a premier attribute that both people have to have. Trust, which is based upon the morality that I've talked about before. If you're a moral person and you do things out of morality as opposed to doing something out of expediency, the me, myself, and I, then if both people have same degrees of morality, hopefully high degrees of morality, so that you know what is wrong, what is right, instinctively, intuitively, inherently, then you don't do that which is wrong. But when people stray away from the ethics, from the honesty, the integrity of character, and they stray away from the relationship because they are lacking in that character, the assholes seem to realize that's not they're harming themselves. They're not adding to their existence in a meaningful way. They may get some kind of warped stimulation out of it. Aha, I fooled her. Aha, I did it again. Aha, she's upset. So what? You do not understand the joy of looking at your woman or at your man in bed. You don't have to say anything, but the smiles are on your lips. And you know you've got the right one because you know he or she is loyal. He or she has moral character. He or she has shown appreciation, the gratitude, the fun, the spirit, the understanding, the sensitivity that's supposed to be there and to be emanating from both parties. If you're a manipulator, that's because you've undergone trauma. And your trauma is preventing you from experiencing the best things in life. And people should see, you know, I'm all for couples therapy pre-relationship, if you can find a goddamn good therapist, that is. How do you know if any of these therapists are good? You know, a lot of these therapists, they're into that field because they themselves are fucked up in the head, fucked up in the heart, fucked up in the soul. And it's because they took classes and got a master's degree doesn't mean that they've repaired themselves. So how do you know? I think it takes, you know, a lot of self-reflection. people. I tell you. You know? So
we got Brianna Boye in the chat room, I see, and
hey,
the Alaskan is in the chat room as well.
I don't know who the Alaskan is.
Brianna Boye says, what do you know, Joe? Hey, Lori. Hello again, Boyd. Relationships are overrated. Trust is overrated. That's what Brianna Boye says.
He's trying to be funny. You know who Brianna Boye is. That's Suzette's husband. So he's trying to be funny.
Yeah, I know.
They're overrated. Yeah, trust is overrated. I think everybody should cheat. That's what Robert's going to say next in the chat. I think everybody should cheat. I tell you.
Everybody should cheat.
Oh.
faithfulness is overrated.
Yeah, faithfulness, that and everybody, fuck faithfulness. Since Robin is here, let me.
People don't really appreciate that.
Yeah.
People like to have to worry about whether or not their partner is actually working late or if they're screwing their boss, you know, male or female, doesn't matter.
Everybody likes that. This is the last 10 minutes to the show, so what I want to do is promote. I'm glad Robert's here. That way we can promote his wife's show. Robert, can you put into the chat the phone number that they can call in order to reach your wife's show? And Suzette will be starting next Tuesday under the other Robert's network. And you can put that number into the chat as well, Robert.
Yeah, right here on Conservative Nation Media. Yep, Suzette's planning to do her show under the Conservative Nation Media banner. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So if you,
exactly when.
What happened? Say that again, Lorianne.
You're starting to cut out a little bit again.
What the fuck? This should be better.
Now is a good time to, if you need to hang up and dial back in, now's a good time to do it. We got 8 minutes left of the live broadcast before we go into the bonus hour. So bring it, Boy E, Boyd the Alaskan, anybody else out there that's listening online, go ahead and call in now. You can still sit back and listen if you want. Or press 1 if you want us to bring you on as we go into the bonus hour. 646-478-5284 is the number to call so that you can continue to listen and join in on the conversation if you want. As we go into the bonus hour, you've got about 7.5 minutes now to call in. Like I said, Joe, if you were kind of breaking up there again a little bit, if you need to hang up and call back in. You were again a little bit.
Was I? Okay, I put my earplugs in. That should have taken care of it. These are new earplugs too. So how am I sounding now?
Sounding okay. You did get a little squirmy when you first started talking.
All right. Well, hopefully it'll
electrical
now,
revive, you know.
All right. Now what I want to do is promote that show. She's going to be on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Same bat channel as this one with the same phone number. Okay? So if you call in on Wednesday, you will talk to a woman who is well-informed about current events, and she is trying to rally the troops, the BTR talk show host, into one unified group so that they can fight against the tyranny that's oppressive against all of us here in America. And Robert, if you have the number of the free teleconference call that she uses in order to contact her, she has a show using that particular apparatus. Can you put that into the chat room? Because I don't know it offhand.
Have 2909 numbers that just sprung up in the switchboard.
Really? Okay.
And
cool.
So one of them is raising their hand, so it might be Suzette or Robert. Let's find out, shall we? I'm going to go ahead and bring on 909.
Probably both of them.
Who do we got?
You're going to have to pick which hand, left or right hand, it'll tell you.
Oh, is that it?
That's
Robert.
That's it. Hey, how you doing, Joe? Hello, Lori.
Okay.
I'm still trying to get the information for you.
Hey there, Robert.
Oh, you got it on there? Okay, she put it in the chat room for her information on her show.
Oh, good.
Okay.
She's still
well,
working
I thought
the
she was coming
with Robert. Right, but she's still working the King's Cell with Robert right now.
Okay.
Oh, it's in. I'm sorry. Okay, my bad. Okay, here we go.
Because 2909 showed up on the switchboard, Lorianne said, so maybe you have another...
One's 7,000, the other one is 3943, I think.
Okay. Well, anyways, yes. We'll just wait for her to show up. And so far...
So it is the 3943, Suzette, and she's just staying muted and listening?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, what have you what are your thoughts, Bob, about what we've talked about? Anything at all?
Was it with the relationship and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Well, like I was saying, it's overrated.
Yeah, of course. Naturally. So nobody needs relationships. This is a waste of time.
It should just be a free-for-all. I mean, come on. Really.
Yeah. Nobody should get married. Nobody should be committed. Hey, what the hell, right?
It had its run.
Yeah, that's it. That's
you
all.
Know. No, it's a good thing to have. I mean, gosh, like you were saying, morals is part of being a good person and one that you want to share your life with, yes.
Well, I think it's very important. I think Laurie Ann would agree, because without morals, without the honesty and integrity, how can you trust another person? Without trust, then why should you with that person? That person can cheat on you. Or you can definitely trust that person to provide drama in the relationship when you don't want it. You can trust that person to not have sensitivity when you need it. That you can trust.
Yeah,
it's, you
that's
know,
true.
Oh, man. Mm.
Yeah, those are the easy ones.
Yeah. Like, and as I've said, I don't have the recipe for guaranteeing that people, once they get together, okay, will stay together in love. But I do have the recipe for how to avoid staying in a bad relationship. I've talked about that before. It's stating your boundaries up front. This is what I will not accept. This is what I will accept. What about you? What are your boundaries? Discuss them. Agree upon them. And then if the person violates them, then you know that either the person has trauma or was a liar. Okay? And and you can bring in, you know, men are from Mars and women are from Venus and the different love languages and how we misinterpret one another. Fine. Then you go through it again and you make sure that you understand English or whatever country you're in. English. And you understand all the nuances of that particular agreement and that boundary. If those boundaries are crossed, hasta la vista boy or hasta la vista girl. You agreed upon this. You violated this. We talked about it. Nothing else to do. No, yes, I care for you, but maybe I care for you because you manipulated me into caring for you. You made me believe that you were the person for me. How do I know that you're a narcissist? Well, I do know that you are a narcissist because you violated the boundaries that you agreed not to violate. So, yes, we are together for 6 months, 8 months, a year, and it's going to be hard, okay, to recuperate from this particular relationship because you created a false trust. But I'd rather break up with you now then break with you 3 or 4 or 5 years from now. Or have you break up with me and have a truly broken heart, a trauma added to the other traumas that other people have undergone. We agreed. You violated. Bye-bye. Now, the bad thing about it is that you may have to go from man to man, from woman to woman, until you finally find somebody who doesn't violate the boundaries. But you're not going from heartbreak to heartbreak, and you're not undergoing the hurt people syndrome. You're not full of revenge for the next person, okay? So that's my recipe for not staying in a bad relationship. But, Joe, don't you believe that, you know, in the Christian faith, for example, or even in the Jewish faith, or in whatever faith and denomination you want to pick out, that you picked her or she picked you, and both of you have to work it out. You can't just quit. Everybody's quitting nowadays. People aren't staying together because they're quitting too easily. I say, they're quitting too easily because they haven't laid down boundaries, clear-cut boundaries. You lay them out. You talk about them. You agree. It's a social contract. The social contract has been broken. my heart, disappointed, but you got to go. Either you go or I go, but one of us is going because I can't take this anymore. You have shown me your true colors. I don't like them. I want to stay with you, but I can't. For my own psychological safety, for my own emotional well-being, I cannot. Simple. So, does anybody have anything to add? I know you don't, Robert, because you don't like to talk that much. But, Lorianne, what are your comments about my recipe, my ingredients, my particular strategy?
I missed a little bit of it because I, before the live ended, I wanted to reboot, you know, I hung up and rebooted my phone just to make sure that no audio issues on my end. Then Bringing It Boy Yee in the chat room says Global Future Council, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to clarify on the time zone. and so I was just given a little advice in the chat room, too, on how to set up the show here on CNM, because the settings for CNM here are for Mountain Time. So when you're doing the show setup, you got to set it for Mountain Time and that kind of thing. So I just kind of given a little advice there next week. I know that Robert and everybody's looking forward to bringing on Suzette doing the show under the CNM banner. And then, of course, there's my show, you know, Lucid Libertarian on Sundays. That's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. So definitely stay tuned there. But I think this has been a great conversation overall. Sorry I missed a little bit of it while I was rebooting my phone.
All right, so I'll sum it up for you. I don't have the recipe for how people can find each other and stay together, okay? But I do have the solution for how people cannot stay in a bad relationship. In other words, to detect it and to get out of it, no matter what the other person is imploring you to do to stay, no. So let me sum it up. You have boundaries. You state those boundaries to your partner. He or she agree upon those boundaries. If those boundaries are violated, then you know the person who knows not to violate those boundaries because she or he has agreed not to has either done it because of trauma, selfishness, or, you know, just bad character, manipulation, which is selfishness, okay? They lied. Trauma or lied. Doesn't matter. They violated the boundaries. He or she's got to go. You got to go. Because otherwise, you will continue to accept the excuses and the reasons why. Oh, no, Joe, you can't leave. Don't you understand the yada, yada, yada? You know? No. I understand that you agreed not to do this. You agreed that it was a rational thing for us to agree upon. Yet you violated them, and not just once or twice, but three or four times. You violated them past the boundary of time limits that we agreed to. You've done it consistently. I'm not sticking around. Do I care for you? Yes, because you made me care for you. You manipulated me into caring for a false shell of a woman, or the other way around, false shell of a man. If I really cared for you in a rational, healthy way, I would not have violated those boundaries. And you would not have violated those boundaries. But you have. So I got to go. But, no buts. Hasta la vista. It hurts. But I'd rather hurt on a level of a 1 to 10, on a 4, than to be hurt on a level of a 9, 5 years down the line when I finally realize I never meant anything to you. And maybe it's your trauma. Maybe you lied. I don't know. And right now, I do care about why. But I won't a few months from now. You did it, not me. So I summed it up. Boundaries. Agree upon them. They violate them.
Yeah.
You go. Simple. It's so simple. People won't
think
it's
Yeah, and I think that's the hard part, though, too. You know, when you're with, with my past experience, I was with a couple of truly master manipulators. And it's like manipulating to the point where it's like you're convinced that they are who they say they are, who they pretend to be. And they, you know, they work in so that you are, you know, you're thoroughly attached, right? And then they start their crap, you know, because when they know that it's going to be hard for you to walk away, and that's the trick, is being able and willing to walk away from the relationship, even though you truly care about that person, even though you truly want there to be a future with this person, but, you know, they have violated your boundaries, like I say, more than once. You know, you can only, you know, be forgiving to a point. You know, everybody screws up at least once, I'm sure. You know, so, I mean, you know, forgiveness, if you have somebody that forgives you for screwing up, but then you take that forgiveness and expect it every time, you know, when you continue to screw up or you continue to violate those boundaries, you can't, you know, that expectation is going to be faulty, put it that way. It's like, you know, I can only forgive somebody so many times, you know, and if you apologize, then, you know, just saying the words is not enough. Your actions have to be consistent with being apologetic.
Absolutely.
And not wanting to repeat the same mistake again. You know, your actions need to follow that up. And so, yeah, it's one of those things. And that's kind of where I got caught into it was, you know, these master manipulators, where they just, they work their way into your psyche, so much that and they create, an unhealthy, like codependent relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the warning signs for me is when, your partner tries to turn you against your family and your friends. That is one thing that these psycho narcissist manipulators and abusers want to do. They want to turn you against your family and friends that have been there for you, so as they can possess you and control your mind better. Convince you that, you know, they're the only person you can trust. They're the only person that really loves you. They're the only person that's really looking out for you. You know, these are warning signs. You know, like, if there's one thing I have experience in is learning how manipulative somebody can be, somebody that is and how they just tap right into your own psychology and use your psychology and your traumas and your honesty and your vulnerability against you. And that, you know, and so I can't emphasize enough that when those severe red flags show up, you have to be willing to walk away early, you know, walk away sooner rather than later. And that's another reason why after my third long-term relationship in which we lived together, and that failure, you know, epic failure, all three of them were epic failures, some of them more epic than others. But anyway, after that, I vowed to myself, you know what, no more playing house with a guy. Not going to do it. No more living together until I'm at least engaged, until I at least have that commitment, you know, and we're committing to each other. We're going to get married. Before that, no, you know, I am not going to put myself in a situation where I am financially dependent on somebody when we don't have the solid ground of commitment to build the future on. You can't build your future on quicksand, is what I learned about myself. Before that commitment is there, that commitment is like cement, and when that commitment is in place, that's when you can start to build the foundation for the future. When you live together beforehand and you're just playing house, one foot in, one foot out, you're building up upon quicksand, and it's probably going to sink, at least for me anyway. It might work for other people, and that's great if it works for other people. But I realize it doesn't work for me. I need that commitment. I need that ultimate commitment. I need a guy that says, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, and I want to build the rest of my life with you. I want you to be my partner in life from this day forward. And forever, that is what I need. I need that much, that solid of a foundation before I am going to cohabitate with somebody and partner up with them financially, because I ultimately paid the financial price. My situation in two of my relationships, men tend to be the ones that get screwed, right? But not in my case. I was the one that got financially screwed. I was the one that had to declare bankruptcy. It was my partner that was failing to provide income to pay the rent and pay the bills. And I had to, pay everything with credit cards and stuff like that because, I wasn't able to make enough money to support both of us. And, I paid the financial price, the emotional price, all of that stuff. So, that is my advice for other people out there is, if you're going to live with somebody, you're going to cohabitate, you're at that point in the relationship, where it's serious, and all of that. Really ask yourself if you really want to play house first. Why do you want to cohabitate? Why do you want to become financially dependent on each other, and dependent on maintaining the household and all that with somebody that isn't truly committed, where both of you have one foot in and one foot out, ready to go? On a moment's notice, where you could uproot your whole life together on a whim when something happens. You know what I mean? Just be wary of that, because that's another thing that I learned from the abusive relationships I was in, was that was part of their manipulation, is to get me, live with me, get me dependent on them, and get me further and further difficulty to be able to leave.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You met up with probably people who have a full-blown version of NPD, in other words, narcissistic personality disorder. All of us have a bit of narcissism in us, in that we are all egoist in a way. We're all selfish, but I like the rational selfish philosophy of Ayn Rand. And I'll talk about Ayn Rand some other time, in which she severely disappointed me before she died. But to be egoistical as opposed to egotistical means to be selfish, but to be selfish in a rational way. To look out for yourself first doesn't mean you're going to exclude looking out for other people. So what you probably did was meet up with people who had NPD. Now that is a pure sickness. NPDs, they will hook up with you for the primary purpose of hurting you. That's their raison d'être in life, their reason for living. They want to hurt you. That's all. Those who have NPD.
Yeah, they get off on it. And by NPD, I'm sure you're meaning narcissistic personality disorder.
That's what I said.
For anybody out there listening that doesn't know what you're talking about.
I thought I defined it. Okay, thanks. Yeah. So when they have that, They are very, very good at manipulation. They will tap into your psyche to find out what stimulates you, what turns you on, what turns you off, what makes you attracted to them, and how they can use your goodness against you for the specific purpose of hurting you, as opposed to just plain selfish people who will hurt you, but they're not planning on it. They're just doing it because they're stupid to realize that they're hurting you, or they don't care, but they're not planning your emotional demise. NPDs are. NPDs are setting a trap. The ordinary selfish person is not setting a trap, except maybe out of a little bit of revenge, you know, because you did something against her, she did something against you, and now you have some petty revenge. I'm not talking about petty revenge. As Lorianne was talking about, they are plotting. Well, she didn't mention that, but that's what they were doing. They were plotting to get her and anybody else in their web financially dependent upon them so that they could walk away and leave them with the bill. Okay? That, see, now, if people learn how to put boundaries in place as a result of learning from the red flags that they experienced prior to, you know, to their, you know, their heart being broken, then they can set up these particular boundaries. The other person, even if they're a narcissist, if they agree and they violate the boundaries, sorry, narcissist, your plot didn't work. It's not fulfilled to the limit that you wanted it to become. And now she's walking away from you because you thought you could manipulate her. You couldn't. The boundaries were set up. You violated them. Sorry. And then she's not coming back to you. Bye. You lost. So this is a protection against that. And usually I say something in a very succinct manner, in a very simple manner, and hopefully you can grasp the significance of what I've said. That's why you take out a piece of paper and you write out in a very non-romantic way the scenarios that could cause heartbreak, the boundaries you want to set up, the statements of how you like each other, dislike each other, and discuss them now. You don't wait 2 or 3 years in the future when your heart is so full of love and so full of hope and then so full of pain and then so full of trying to get that person back, so full of confusion. You don't do it then. You do it before then. You find out who the NPDs are before then. You have minor heartbreak then as opposed to major heart-wrenching, earthquake, seismic-size heartbreak later. It makes sense to you, Laurie Ann, or whoever's listening, Robert, if you're still on the line.
Joe. Yeah, Joe, may I jump in?
Sure, who's this?
Oh, this is Robert.
Oh, okay.
I just see what the way you want to go with it, that's a great, great way of going about it. That's cheating, but that's a good way of, you know, starting out. I mean, if you want to put the laws down and the rules and everything, both of you go for it, then yeah, you know, you should have a successful relationship and it should work out great. It would never happen because then once you put those rules down, and then if you could break them, then that's it. You may not have that person go, you know, like you were saying earlier, yeah, you broke the law, you shouldn't have done that, so it's over. You knew it better, we wrote it down, and that's it. You know, I can't say, oh, forget it, you know, it happens. And that could cause problems there. And with Lori, with the financial, Suzette and I, we dated for a while there before we even got married. And financing, we never really discussed that. We just figured it was never an issue. We just, I go out, she meets me somewhere, and I'll buy drinks, and then she'll buy dinner or vice versa. We never really put our money together or even expect to have each other other than when we got married and put our money together. It was never something that.
You two, Yeah, you two are not MPDs, though. You two did not meet each other with the full plan of getting each financially and emotionally dependent upon one another so that the one person could either force the victim to leave or the perpetrator leaves himself or herself. So you two were lucky. But when you say cheating, what do you mean by cheating by my recommendation?
Well, cheating, you mean like being with another person? Yeah.
No, you said that's cheating.
Cheating. What I'm saying by cheating is like to getting together, write down everything, you know, that's don't do this, let's do that, you know. Right, you know, it's a good idea, I hear you, but that's just cheating in a relationship. You know, you aren't going to find out the real person, the quirks and everything you need to know, because writing everything down, you don't know everything yet. And when those tough times come, you have to deal with it. That's just, you know, the way it goes. You know, writing it down is awesome.
Okay. Here's my explanation of that. Prior to the relationship, before the commitment, you do this, okay? So you've gotten to know each other to a degree. But the wise person realizes that, you know, the future is coming, but I don't know what the future truly is with this particular person, right? So in order to find out without having to have your heart broken, you write out what you like, what you don't like, the boundaries, so that, and don't forget, it's not like you broke one law, as you put it. You broke it once and you're gone. No. The boundaries may be four times, you're gone. I will forgive you three times to give you the benefit of the doubt and to have us undergo conflict resolution so that we can understand why this is happening. But after the fourth time, you've shown me definitively that you do not want to do this with my best interest at heart and your best interest at heart commingled together. Whatever your traumas, whatever your lies are about, whatever your particular reason is for breaking these boundaries, you've done it. You've shown me who you are. Goodbye. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't say that after a year's worth of a relationship or 2 years of a relationship, but it's best to have your heart broken on a seismic level of 4 rather than a seismic level of 9 after 6 or 7 years with somebody who even if they're not NPDs, they're still defined by their traumas, their unrealistic expectations, and their selfishness. Maybe they don't know how to say, I'm sorry. Maybe they don't know how to take responsibility for their actions. Maybe a man is afraid of opening up because he's afraid of looking like a weakling. These things have to be worked out. If they can't be worked out, I say do not live in hell any longer than you have to. You've already lived in limbo. Don't enter hell. So that's the reason why it's you know, I recommend the paper, the outlining of what you have to go through, what you agree with, and the relationship can still go on, but you have clearly stated boundaries. No misunderstanding. The girl can come back and say, "But Robert, the reason why I did this, or I don't even really know why I did it," and the tears flow and you feel sorry. Fuck that. You knew what was expected of you, and you agreed to it. If you're a fully defined adult woman, as you portray yourself to be and as you've told me you are, goodbye. Simple.
Good point. I see. Good point.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
yeah. Sorry, Robert. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
He finished up. I can tell by the way he ended it. Go ahead, Laurie. Unless Robert does have something.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I think it's good to lay this stuff out on the table right away. But then it also kind of, you know, I haven't been dating for a long time for a reason, because I don't play by the normal rules. And my experience has been guys don't really know what to do with it when I'm, you know, when I put things on the table right away. Here's how I am. Here's how I operate. And I'm clear about it. You know, it's like they don't know what to do with it. Like, you know, in the dating game is such a game. And I tend not to play that game. You know, I don't go by, you know, what you, all these do's and don'ts of what you're supposed to do on a date and what you're on your first date or your second date, all this stuff. You know, I don't go with that. I'm just real, you know, I'm real from day one and I'm honest and I put it out on the table what I expect, you know, I put out on the table, you know, that, hey, you know, Joe, you and I have talked about it. I put it right out there, like, you know, I am not going to be the one that calls you and texts you all the time. I'm not going to hound you. You know, I'm not going to be that mm-hmm. person. If you want to talk to me, you talk to me. This is early in dating. You know, it's mm-hmm. like to me, I'm like, you're the man, you're the pursuer, I'm the woman, I want to be pursued. You know, I'm not going to be the woman that after the first date is texting you, you know, 10 times a day. That's not me. You know, you want to talk to me, you text me first. You call me first. I'll call you back if I miss your call. I'll text you back if you text me. That's fine. You know, and they get confused by that because they're like, you know, you never call me. You never initiate. And it's like, mm-hmm. why is that a surprise? I told you for that from day one. You know, it's not that I don't want to talk to you. If I didn't want to talk to you, I wouldn't call you back. You know, so if you want to know whether or not I want to see you again or whether or not I want to keep talking with you, your first clue is, do you call me and do I call you back in a reasonable amount of time? When you text me, do I text you back in a reasonable amount of time? You know, if you ask me out again and I say yes, like that, there's your clue, you know. I mean, if I didn't want to talk to you, I wouldn't answer you, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. kind of a thing, you know. And that's how
Yeah. And I don't understand the guy's reluctance because most guys don't assume, I mean, they do assume that the girl is not going to initiate. That's one of our gripes, is that women don't initiate as often as we would like them to. So for a guy to say, well, you don't initiate, well, I'm sure you would explain it further, you know, some other time in the future. But I don't understand that that particular mindset from a guy, unless he's just a complainer.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, eventually I do initiate, you know, once, you know, we're dating for a while, you know, and it's like, and the relationship gets to a certain point, you know, then, okay, now, you know, we're obviously in this, you know, we're obviously, you know, interested in continuing this relationship further and that sort of thing. And then, you know, and, but it's like when I do finally initiate, that is also a clue for the man to appreciate the fact that I actually initiated contact for a change, you know, like, oh, wow, you know, appreciate that fact, because that is me, what I'm trying to say in that change when I finally do make it, is I'm saying, you know what, I am putting down one of my walls for you. I've had this wall set up. I told you this is my wall. You initiate contact with me, I'll get back to you, blah, 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 all that, you know, and when I finally do the initiation, when I'm finally the one that goes, hey, what are you doing Friday night? You want to get together? What I'm really saying is, you know, I'm putting down one of my walls for you. You know, I'm willing to make myself vulnerable and open to rejection for you, you know? It's like sometimes that, you know, that's kind of the message that I'm sending. And so you should appreciate that fact that I'm putting down one of my walls because we're, you know, I've been with you enough now where I feel like I can start putting down some of my walls and start being a little more vulnerable with you. And if that's not appreciated, you know, then, you know, that's kind of a red flag for me right there as well. You know, because I do appreciate, you know, one of the reasons why when I expect a guy to initiate contact initially, you know, early on in the relationship when we're first dating, you know, it's like I recognize that they're putting themselves out on the line when they're asking me out or they're texting me or something. And that's why I call them back. That's why I text them back in a reasonable amount of time, you know. I don't wait 10 days, you know what I mean? Like, or whatever.
I don't play by those kind of rules
where you don't get back to somebody right away because it shows that you're too desperate or you're too available. All this bullshit. You know, no, it's me saying, you know, when I get back with somebody right away that I'm first starting to date, I'm saying, you know what, I realize that you're being vulnerable, you're opening yourself up for rejection, and that's why I'm getting back to you in a very reasonable or short amount of time, because I recognize that, and I'm giving you the validation that, yes, I do want to continue talking with you, yes, I do want to continue seeing you. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no 6 months, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, I do want to take things slow.
Yeah, sure.
You know, based on my past experiences, I've realized that, yeah, I mean, you know, it might take 6 months. It might. I mean, I'm not putting a firm deadline on it, but it might take that long for me to finally be able to be willing to be vulnerable again, after being hurt so many times. And I would hope that, you know, a guy that's truly interested in me would recognize that this is something that is part of my trauma, and I'm going to take my time. And I firmly said that, you know, for me personally, if or when I do go back to dating again, my priority is to establish a friendship first, friendship before romance. Because like I said, I am way better at being friends with a guy, you know, and that person, if they're going to be my partner in life, really has to be my best friend, you know, they have to turn out to be like my best friend, and I have to establish that friendship first, and I don't know how long that's going to take before it goes to more of a, you know, intimate, you know, part of the relationship. It could take 6 months. It could take 3 months. It could take 2 months. I don't know. You know, but I stand in knowing that the friendship has to come first. And if a man isn't willing to, establish a solid friendship with me first, and he wants to rush in and just, you know, bang each other, you know, if he just wants me to be his booty call, then that doesn't work for me. I'm not going to be your instant booty call and have the friendship come later. For me, it's friendship first. Why? Because I've learned from my mistakes. I got into relationships too quickly, got too serious too soon, became too vulnerable too quickly. I ignored red flags. You know, or didn't see red flags. Why? Because things move too quickly. Because of those lessons that I've learned, that's why I've put these boundaries in place. That's why I have my walls up. And then hopefully what I can bring to the table in the relationship eventually, you know, they start to see that, hey, you know, maybe this isn't such a bad thing. Maybe she says, you know, she says she's a loyal person and she's a faithful person. And maybe by allowing that time, establishing that friendship first, and I'm not dating other people, that's another thing. I, you know, in addition to being faithful, I am not the type that can date multiple people at the same time. It just does not work, you know, for me. I cannot do it. I hate dating. I've done it. I've dated two or three guys at the same time. I absolutely hate it. I actually like to focus on one at a time, you know, one at a time, folks. You're going to be my focus. I can't stretch my focus between three different guys and deal with the drama of, okay, you know, out of these three guys that I've been dating, this is the one that I'm really interested in, and breaking it off with the other two. Why am I going to waste a guy's time like that? You know, because that means there's two guys that I wasted their time, their money, and their effort only to, you know, choose, you know, door number two, you know, or whatever. I don't want to waste a guy's time like that. or his money, you know, or his heart. So that's why I'm a one at a time kind of a person when I'm dating somebody. And I expect the same thing in return as well. You know, if you're going to date me, you know, focus your attention on me, you know. And if you want to date other people, then that just tells me that you're not as interested in me as you're claiming to be. That's what it says to me. That's how I interpret it. Wrong or right, that's how I interpret it.
I'm glad you brought that up. That is something you and I can talk about and have feedback from callers sometime in the future. Because I agree with you and from your perspective how you don't want to waste the time of guys, because the guys are probably paying for the dates, and after the third date they expect to have sex. You're not going to have sex unless you've established a true friendship with somebody first. But for a guy, for him to date three girls at once, that's not a problem to me. Okay, that says I am dating. I am not necessarily sowing my seed. But if I am, I am extremely careful. They like me. I like them. I am not promising love. I am only sharing myself with you. And as long as I do not lie to you, do not mislead you, then I should be free to date other women. That's the viewpoint of guys, and I can understand that viewpoint. So that's something we can talk about when we have time, but we only have 24 minutes left. But, you know, we can talk about it now or whatever else. You, Robert, or Suzette, if she wants to call in, can talk about. I find this discussion, all the topics that we've discussed tonight, to be interesting. I liked our last show, and the relationship shows, better than I've liked the political shows. So go ahead, Lorianne. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we can have multiple shows like this talking about this kind of stuff. And I know it's kind of unconventional for me, but, you know, that's not to say that I would stop dating a guy, you know, if he's dating other women. The other mm-hmm. part of me is like, okay, you want to date other women. That to me also says you're not ready to focus your attention solely on me. And that's okay. You know, go ahead, date the other women. But if a guy is going to, at least, you know, hopefully he's being honest about it, which is fine. You know, if you're going to be dating other women, then be honest with me about it. But at the same time, I am absolutely not going to have sex with you while I know you're dating other women. You know, that's just not going to be a thing. I am going to not be as readily willing to put my walls down and make myself vulnerable for a guy that's continuing to date other women. And my attitude is going to be, well, you know, when those other women turn out to be bitches, I'll be here, you know. You know, when they turn out to be nothing but bitches and users and that kind of a thing, and things don't work out, then, hey, I'm here. Because why? I'm your friend first, you know what I mean? And a friend will understand that. And a friend will be like, you know, hey, that kind of thing. So it's one of those things where I would rather remain friends with a guy. You know what I mean? You know, fine. It doesn't work out with us dating. You know, you're dating other women. It's fine. We don't need to have a big drama about it. But the fact is, you know, we became friends first. Let's preserve that friendship. Value that friendship more than anything else. And I think that's a more mature way to handle it. Like some of the guys that I've had good friendships with started out as dating, didn't work out romantically for whatever reason, my part, his part, both our parts, doesn't fucking matter. So we didn't work out that way, but we remained really good friends. And then I became that friend that when he is dating another woman, I'm the friend that the female friend that he wanted me to meet, the person that he's currently dating. What do you think of her? You know? from a woman's mm-hmm. perspective and a friend's perspective, what do you think of her, you know? And it turned out to be actually, you know, really healthy and really good. I'm one of those mm-hmm. women that I encourage men to have women as friends. I want men to have women as friends. Because if I'm in a relationship with that person, you know, with that guy, you know, when guys only have guy friends, they only get a guy's perspective, you know, but when they have a good friend that's a girl that they've mm-hmm. been friends with for a long time, you know, and he gets her advice, you know what I mean, and gets her perspective on things. You know, a guy that has a really close friend that's a girl, that can be a big asset in the relationship. And so I'm definitely not one of those women that, you know, are going to be, like, jealous about the fact, you know, or want him to not be friends with her. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be that bitch that says
yeah.
that tries to determine who a man can be friends with, you know, and feel intimidated by that. Like, you know, I'm not that kind of a person. And so I think the same needs to be true as well, you know, and not – a guy that's jealous and possessive of me and doesn't want me to, you know, hang out with a guy friend that I've known for a long time and he, you know, feels intimidated by that or something, then that right there is a red flag for me as well. Because it's like, no, I'm not going to give up my friendship. You know, I've been friends with, you know, with my guy friend for a long time. I'm not going to just abandon that friendship for you. No, you know. And for mm-hmm. you to expect me to, we're going to have a problem, you know. So mm-hmm. it goes both ways, you know. I try not to apply rules toward the person that I'm dating or that I'm seeing that I'm not willing to apply to myself or agree right. to myself. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think whatever the social contract is between two people, if they accept it, then they accept it. It may be one-sided, but if the person, even if it's a guy accepting it, knowing what to expect in advance, then whatever the repercussions are, he kind of set himself up for it. And he should learn from that. People should learn from their red flags, their experiences. Unfortunately, people don't really learn from trauma because a lot of times people don't realize that the trauma is really deeply hidden inside the subconscious or it's locked away for protection. Because if you released it in the wrong way, it could cause emotional havoc. So, but it's the trauma which guides a lot of people into doing that which is irrational and unhealthy. And the real problem is, I guess, trying to find a really good therapist who can help. I've talked to people in BTR. It doesn't seem to me like some of them say they have, you know, I have to go, and you know, it's pretty good. I don't know, you know. I don't know. When you take a look at the world today and how people are in such pain, talk about politically, the conflicts in the Middle East, the upcoming conflict, well, the conflicts in Ukraine and Russia, and possibly World War III, the conflicts people have between family members, the conflicts they have between lovers, conflicts they have between those who truly love one another. Wow. What does that say about us as a species, you know? Yeah. So I'll be glad to put on another relationship show sometime in the future and talk about another topic, which hopefully will bring insight into Robert's life, if he's still there. Are you still there, Robert? Because maybe you won't feel
yes.
like
yes. Let's
cheating.
Do a show where we analyze the relationship between Robert and Suzette.
Let's do that. Let us do that. I expect you two, Robert and Suzette, to add to that show. I want you to give us all the information that we need in order for us to analyze that. How's it? I can hear Suzette laughing now. Robert's going, what the fuck is Joe talking about? But that's what that would be a good show.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
I think that's good. Why not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. He thinks that's good. Okay. He'll give us all the wrong information about himself and Suzette, to be sure. But I hope that these shows that I presented, and with Lorianne as my co-host, Robin as my guest caller, and with Suzette listening, and probably will come on some other time in the future, that these will be helpful to other people listening. That's my goal, is to provide advice that I hope is grounded in reality. It's something that other people have not heard to the extent that I've explained it so far. And I hope that it's worthwhile information. What are you doing, Robert? I'm hearing you. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. I'm just outside right
He's
now.
Banging the drums.
Are you playing the bass or something?
my phone's pretty sensitive, I guess.
Okay, no
guys,
problem.
I'm putting some Bondo on my helmet. I have my motorcycle helmet.
Oh, hey, did you get a crash helmet for Suzette? Because Suzette said that she's going to go ahead and try to round up people. And, you know, she said that she's had experience with doing so, you know, trying to get people together. And I said, well, I hope you get a good crash helmet. Well, look, we've only got 14 minutes left. I don't really have too much more to say. Robert, promote Suzette's show, please. Lorianne, to him, promote your show, please. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Oh, okay. Hold on, please. She changed it on me.
Well, while you're looking for the information, Lorianne, why don't you tell people about your show on Sundays, the network that you and I both belong in which Suzette has joined, and anything else that you'd like to promote.
Sure thing. My show is Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne. It is on Sunday nights right here on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Very political. I usually try to bring up current events and sort news that has happened in the previous week, which most of the time we don't even talk about and we go on to other things, but that's all right. And then right here on Conservative Nation Media, I join Robert as his co-host on Friday night, Conservative Nation Media, also at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So I co-host with him on Friday night. And then, there's several other shows that I tune in for on Saturday nights is Donnie C. Show, Beyond the Mainstream. I'm a regular there. Also 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Excuse me,
Joe Gibson.
Excuse me for a second. Rob, can you put yourself on mute, please, until you come?
Until you come.
Okay, thanks. No problem. Okay, Lorianne, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no worries. I'll promote Joe Gibson's show. He usually does his show on Tuesdays regularly at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesdays. His show is Restoring Our Republic. Joe Gibson, he's running for office in North Carolina. And the media and the GOP there in North Carolina tried to get him off the ballot, but he won that battle. He will be on the ballot. So lots of interesting developments that have been going on with his candidacy there that he's been talking about. So stay tuned for his show. And then let's see, who else is Jim Clark. I've started to become a regular on Jim Clark's show. He usually does his show late in the evenings, Tuesday through Thursday typically. Like I think like 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern time typically. He's kind of fun to join the show with. And so I've become a regular. I went onto his show last night because everybody was on like Gibson's show, and then Ron Reck put up a show, which I'll say Ron Reck does an on-the-fly show usually later in the evening, Crazy Nation Radio. Nobody was on Jim's show, so I made my way over to his show and kept him company last night. And then Ron Rex's show ended, and then everybody kind of came on over to Jim Clark's show. So that was kind of fun. I actually wanted Jim Clark to call in because, you know, he's got his own drama going on with his dating life, which is kind of funny. So, yeah, I was hoping that maybe you would call in for the show. I sent him the link in the chat room last night. It's a long name, like Jake Clark's Novelty Late Night. I always mess it up. Jake Clark's Novelty Late Night Show type of thing. Yeah, I just have to look it up.
They'll find it with Jake Clark Novelty, and they can put that in the search engine if they want to look for it. Okay. And what else? What else are you saying about relationship shows?
Yeah, hopefully you and I can get together and do another show like this, you know, different topic, or even continue the conversation we had here, whatever you want to do. I'm happy to co-host with you again and have another relationships-oriented type of show like this. I think that we had a great discussion today, and I would love to continue that with you again. Whenever you are ready, let me know.
Okay. Yeah, I did enjoy this conversation on this particular topic. We went off the original intended topic, which is fine. We can always get back to that, which was there are female advocates who are, females who are male advocates who are definitely male advocates, and they have pointed out the flaws of women in today's modern dating world, have criticized them soundly and roundly. But at the same time, I believe that their particular end game is to restore the old traditional roles of men in their place, women in their place. And I'll elaborate more on that again at another show. We have a few minutes. Well, we only got 8 minutes here now. But I'll say that intentionally.
I mean, we can always do the same show, but a part two, so we can get back into some of those things, which we could get into, like how the courts, you know, like the odds are stacked against men when it comes to the courts, when it comes to child custody, things like that. And get back to the male advocacy topic that the show was supposed to be about, but then, of course, we deviated from that, like you said.
And
we could definitely do a part two on this.
Okay, and varying away from the original topic is fine with me because I think tonight and any type of relationship show that I like to present to the public as opposed to some that I've gone on, I think are truly insightful. I think they're more than just chit-chat. I think they're actually offering good advice, good experiences that people can learn from. We've done a lot to condense within a two-hour framework. You know, Robert notwithstanding, of course, but, you know, what can you do? So I think we've done that. And we only have a few minutes left, and I don't really have too much more to say. Outside of thanks again, Lorianne, for being my co-host. You did a splendid job. Thanks, Robert, for calling in. And he did talk about Suzette's new phone number and new show, right? Yeah, I think he did. And if you wanted, Robert, you can take yourself off mute and present Suzette's show again if you'd like on the time remaining. And I'm ready to wrap up, but I'll stay on for the next 6 minutes because I know Lorianne probably has something rolling around in her head that she might want to say that she hasn't said already and that maybe she's forgotten. So for the next 6 minutes, Lorianne, the floor is yours.
You mean you're going to shut up and let the woman talk?
Can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think we covered a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, I know I talked a lot about my experiences and stuff like that, but I think I'm hoping that it helps, especially when I was talking about, like, because of my experiences and how we, you know, how I interpret things, you know, that's another kind of thing to dive into too, is, you know, how we interpret given situations, you know, and we have to recognize that we all interpret things a little bit differently based on our own experiences. You know, a lot of it is like based on, you know, the rules for dating, which I like to throw that book out the window and just, you know, I like to be real. I want the other person to just be real. Don't play the game. Just be real. Be who you really are. Don't try to create some facade or present yourself in a false way because you're expected to follow the dating rules. You know, my advice, you know, is abandon all of that. Just be real from day one. And then let the chips fall where they may. I would rather date somebody that's real with me from day one, then plays the game, and then I don't really know who they truly are, you know, until later, because mm-hmm. they've just been playing the game and they've been going through the motions and doing what they think is expected of them playing the dating game. For me personally, I like to just throw all that out the window. It doesn't need to be there. It just confuses things. As if dating isn't confusing enough, you know?
Mm-hmm. Here's a rebuttal to that from a guy's viewpoint. Yes, what you say, Lorianne, sounds true, sounds good, and for me to be real. But that may or may not be you. But with most women, they, of course, everybody wants the real person to show up as opposed to the representative. But we all know that if I don't talk about how I've accomplished certain things, how I'm not ambitious, I don't even want to talk about my car, Buick, where I believe that she probably wants a guy to drive a Cadillac at least, how I steer the conversation towards topics that I believe she's interested in to give her a good light about who I am. If I don't do that, then I'm going to be interested for the second day, the third day. And if I am real, right, she could reject me, as I've already alluded to. But if I don't present this, not a facade, but a good side of me, well, you know, what else is there? I mean, I have to make an impression. One of us does. I'm the man. I have to make, I approached her. It's up to me to impress her. And if I say, well, I like to collect stamps, that's not really going to be impressive. That's real, but not especially impressive. So that's what I do. I'm, you know, you speak from a woman's perspective, which is good, but from a man's perspective, well, you know, you don't wear the pants, so... That's my rebuttal to you, Miss Lorianne. So what do you say to that, Lorianne, when somebody says that?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a difference between, you know, when you're first dating somebody, there's a difference between building like a facade, you know, to impress somebody versus putting your best self forward. You're not lying, you know, you're not pretending when you're highlighting your best qualities. You know, you're putting your best self forward in order to, you know, like sell yourself to this person that you're dating. You know, not, you know, sell like prostitution, but sell yourself as a person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that kind of thing. But again, just being honest, don't, you know, if you drive a beat-up Buick, you know, don't hide that fact. Don't, like, go rent a fancy car to impress me and make me think that that's the kind of car that you have, when in reality, you know, then that's a lie. You know what I mean? If you drive an old beat-up Buick, then fine. You know, be honest about that. That's fine. Hey, at least you got a car, you know. But I guess now we are definitely into no man's land. But, yeah, like, you know, at least you got a car, right, and it runs. A lot of people don't have that. You pay your insurance, and, you pay for your registration, all that, you know. Well, hey, you know, score some points for you, right? You don't have to drive a BMW. And if you're dating a woman that's only interested in, you know, fancy cars and fancy house and all that kind of stuff, and you're not that, you know, then maybe that's not the kind of woman that you need to be dating. Yeah. But that kind of thing. Anyway.
No. Yeah, that's not a maybe. That's definitely not a woman that you should be dating, because you might consider that woman to be out of your league. But as long as you know that you have the kind of qualities that are golden, that those are the qualities that make you the man that a good woman wants and needs, and the Buick doesn't matter. You don't have to date her. You can try to find somebody else. Now, of course, trying to find, you know, somebody else, there was something you sent me a picture the other day about the fish in the sea. Yeah, the fish in the sea. Well, I know, you know, the fish in the sea. Hey, you go from one fish to the other fish to the other fish. They're all ugly. So I know. And it's just dating is bitch. You know, from the male perspective, the money, the time, the energy, the kind of expectations, the picking up, the protection, the bringing back, the trying to impress, trying to entertain, and the woman kind of being leery about what are his real intentions. Am I a sex object? Of course you're, because that's why men and women come together. Because out of sex, hopefully the sex will become heightened and enlightened to the point where the sex is not just sex, but it's a transference of emotions between two rationally healthy people. But yeesh, it is a bitch. I am glad that we've had these shows. I do like the idea of continuing with either this topic or another one. So I'm going to leave. 2 hours is enough for me. Laurie-Ann, if we are in no man's land, if Robert's still here, you two can have a conversation, but I'm going to hang up. And I'd like to thank you again for being the co-host, Robert, for calling in. Suzette for listening, and for anybody else who's out there hopefully learning from our experiences and our advice. So I'm going to bid everybody adieu, and I'm going to leave you to mop up.
I'll need a mop up. Yeah, great, thanks. Well, the show already ended anyway. Hey, Robert, thanks so much for calling in. I think that we can call it a night.
Okay, good.
Hopefully everybody stays warm.
Yeah.
Hopefully nobody has trees fall on their house or anything.
Yeah. How about for global warming, huh? Yeah, right? With the Arctic freeze coming. Oh, boy.
But she had someone to help her out, and she goes running in to get her gun while they're trying to help her out. That wasn't too fun.
Oh, no? No?
She was telling us that she had the neighbor was going to come by and help her out, and then she goes run inside the house and comes out with a gun, and the guy takes off.
Who's this you're talking about?
Lori.
Oh! I thought you were talking about her for a minute, and I said, get a gun, come back out. Wow. Okay. All right. So I'm going to leave. Okay, I'm going to hang up, and thanks for showing up, Robert. Laurie-Ann, thanks again, and see you next time, world. Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody. Good night, Robert. We'll see each other around, I'm sure.
You know it.
Good night.
Okay, no, bye.
Bye.